Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So the Supreme Lord also has many avatars. And all these expansions are all in the same way unlimited as his original form is. So we're moving on to the next verse of Brahma's prayers in text 38. Kimcha satya gyan anant anand aika rasa murti twad yugapad eva sarvamapi tad tad rupam vartate eva. Furthermore, all these forms exist simultaneously, since they are equally embodiments of eternity, eternal knowledge and unlimited bliss. Well, okay, since they're all eternal, then there's no sequence that one comes before another one. They all exist at the same time. But their apparent, they appear and disappear at various times and places, but the forms are all-pervading and eternal. Kintu yuyam sarvada sarvam napashyateti tatra cha yaugapadyam katam iti tatraha. But persons like you cannot see all of them all of the time. How then can they be expected to appear simultaneously? They exist simultaneously, but how can they appear all at the same time? Because the conditioned souls headed by Brahma, their vision is limited. Brahma answers this in the following verse. Koveti bhuman bhagavan paratman yogeshwaro tir bhavatas trilokyam kvaho katamva kativa kadeti vistarayan kridosi yogamayam. O Supreme Great One, the word is Bhuman, all means all-pervading one, or it means all-powerful one, Bhuman. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramatman, O Supersoul, Master of all mystic power. Your pastimes are taking place continually in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and in how many forms, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? So people cannot, no one can understand or estimate. These leelas are appearing in all the worlds all the time. But how he appears, in how many forms, and at what times he's appearing by his spiritual energy and performing pastimes, no one is capable of estimating. And he continues, no one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. Okay, commentary. Srila Jiva Goswami begins this anuchet with a continuation of the questions Krishna might have asked Brahma, which are answered in the next text of Brahma's prayers. He simply submits in the affirmative agreeing with Krishna, yes, Krishna raises the doubt and Brahma agrees with him. Agreeing with Krishna that no one of his own finite caliber of intelligence can expect to be able to estimate how Krishna has exercised his powers in appearing and acting in this world, or predict when in the future, where or how he may take more births and display more of his pastimes. Scientific investigation tries to measure, analyze, and predict the phenomena of nature. But the Supreme Lord's janma and karma are supernatural. Only by hearing from the enlightened authority. Hold on a second, I'll fix it. Only by hearing from the enlightened authority of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu can they be understood even in minute part, the birth and activities of the Lord. The Lord must choose to reveal himself as he does directly in his rare avatars, and as he also does in all times through the standard authorities who know him and can explain him to others. Nayamatma pavachanena labhyo namedaya nabhuna shutena yamai vaisha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivinute tanum swam. This self cannot be obtained by discourses, nor by brain power, nor by hearing many scriptures. He can be obtained by the persons whom he chooses. To that person, he reveals his personal form. Prabhupada says in the translation, your pastimes are taking place continuously. Well, yes, but Krishna is performing pastimes somewhere in the universe at all times. But in the particular place, and we're not capable of just running around from one universe to the other to catch up with Krishna's pastimes. We don't have that ability. Sometimes there are people who follow musical groups all around the country to be in all their concerts, but we can't do that with Krishna, follow him around everywhere, all the different universes. So for us, stuck in a particular place, Krishna appears in any avatar, only rarely. We're short-lived living beings here on the earth, and Krishna was here 500 years ago as Mahaprabhu, 5,000 years ago as Krishna, and we're living much later than that, and all we have is the remembrance of him and the record of his birth and activities. So we have to follow Kuru Shastra and Sadhu. The Bhagavatam, the Gita, are giving us a glimpse of Krishna and his pastimes that he performed way before our time. And the Sadhus and the Gurus are giving us the Shastra and clarifying the meaning of the Shastra for us. Otherwise, we don't have access to understanding Bhagawan as a person. He appears in this world very rarely. Okay, now we look at 38.2. Kva va, katam va, kati va, kada va, yogamayam dushtarkyam chityam chaktim vistarayan tata tata pavartayan kridasiti. Who knows where, qua, in which ways, katam, and in how many forms, kati, or when, kada, you sport, expanding your yogamaya, your inconceivable spiritual energy, dustarkyam, chit shaktim. Who understands your enjoyment, pastimes, within the three worlds? Bhavato utir. Uti means an endeavor or something one intends to do, an intentional activity. But that's really to be understood as lila. It's not Krishna doing some work for himself or somebody else. He's simply playing his uti, his endeavors, or simply his endeavors to enjoy in his pastimes. And he exhibits those pastimes within the three worlds. But who can understand these qualities, these features of his pastimes? Koveti nakopi ityartaha. Who can understand? No one. Yasyat matam tasya matam. Matam yasya naveda saha. That's from the Keno Upanishad. In other words, one who thinks he does not understand him, understands him. One who thinks he understands him does not actually know. Atra durgyayata puraskritenaiva sambodana chatushtayena chaturshu yuktim aha. He bhuman. In this connection, explanation is in reply to each of these four questions are given by four epithets, sambodhanas, which underscore the fact of his being difficult to understand. There are four questions. Kwa, katam, kati, and kada. How do you appear, or rather, where do you appear? In what manner do you appear? How often, how many times do you appear, and at what particular times? If you want to see Krishna, you should find out where he is, when, and what he's doing. Then you can make plans to see him. Hey Bhuman, Krodi Kritananta Murtyatmika Srimurte. O Supreme Great One, who incorporates within your divine body countless bodies of yours. Two meanings of Bhuma. One is all-pervading, the other is all-powerful. The fact that Krishna contains infinite bodies of Vishnu, Tattva, within himself fits with both meanings. Because he's all-pervading and because he's all-powerful, all the Vishnu forms are within him. Ayam bhavaha ekam api mukhyam bhagavad rupam yugapad ananta rupatmakam bhavati. This means that the one primary form of the Supreme Lord comprises countless forms simultaneously. Yugapad, not just like I exhibited a baby form, and then a child form, and then a youth form, and then an old form. But they were at different times. But Vishnu, Krishna, the original Godhead, has all these leelas all the time simultaneously. Commentary? Brahma asks rhetorically. Rhetorical question means you already know the answer, but you're just asking it anyway for effect. It's rhetorical. Rhetoric means the science of talking in such a way to influence people. Sophistry. They teach rhetoric in the Russian universities still? Okay, it's an old-fashioned subject. They don't teach it anymore. They teach you how to speak, but they don't call it rhetoric. But rhetoric means the art of speaking convincingly and changing people's minds by your speech. So a rhetorical question is just to make people think something and to put the answer in their head. You ask a question, but really you already have the answer in mind. So Brahma asks rhetorically, who can understand how you act in this world? And he already has the answer in mind, nobody. Knowing very well that no one can understand this other than the Supreme Lord himself. The answer to the question who is thus already implied. No one but you. As explained in Srila Sanatana Goswami's Vaishnava Toshani on this verse, the other four questions, other three, isn't it? No, ko is the fifth question, yeah. Ko veti. Okay, the other four questions are answered by the four epithets with which Brahma addresses Krishna in this verse. So the answer to the ko question, who, is implied. It's said in such a... You can hear the tone when Brahma says it. It's an ironic tone, so you know the answer is nobody. The other four, he supplies adjectives describing Krishna, or actually addresses in Sambodhanam, that answer the other four questions. Where is answered by Bhuman, O unlimited, all-expansive one? Implying that his all-pervading original form is the basis of his other forms. All of them unlimited in space. Okay, where do the Leela avatars come from? They come from Krishna. Where do they appear? They appear in Krishna. In what ways is answered by Bhagawan, O you who are full in all powers? So in what ways? By the exercise of his Achintya Shakti. In how many forms is answered by Paramatman, O supreme witness of all souls? Indicating that he alone knows the extent of his expansion. So again, the answer is nobody else knows but him, and he's not telling right now how many avatars he has. Or maybe it just can't be counted. When is answered by Yogeshwara, O master of mystic competence. Meaning that as the supreme yogi, he is present in and knows all times, past, present, and future. And how Krishna manages to be each of these Brahma, be each of these, Brahma says with the words, Vistarayan Yogamayam. You do it all by expanding your personal creative energy. Now I got a problem here. When he says Paramatman and when he says Yogeshwara, he's not really answering the questions. He's saying that only Krishna knows the answers. Can I mark this? I want to make a comment about it. Okay. Anyway, because Krishna's Paramatma, he's the one who knows everything, everywhere. And he's Yogeshwara. He can see past, present, and future. The only way we're going to know the answer to these questions is if he, out of his kindness, tells us. He reveals his pastimes, and he empowers sages like Vyasadeva to describe when, where, and how the Lord appears. But it's only by Krishna giving them that knowledge. And especially by appearing. And they record, they write down description of that appearance in time and space. Damana Gopal.
Can you repeat how is Bhagavan Katam and how is Paramatma Kati?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Well, Katam is answered by Bhagavan and Kati is answered by Paramatma.
Yes.
How is that? And then you give an explanation of Bhagavan and Paramatma.
Well, the answer, it really isn't the answer. The answer is avoided by saying you're going to have to ask. I'm not really giving the answer. It's saying that you, who I'm talking to, Krishna, you're the one who can give the answer. I can't give it. Because you're Paramatma. You know the extent of your expansions, being everywhere as Paramatma. You have to tell me, in other words. So it's not Brahma's not giving the answer. He's telling Krishna that only Krishna can give the answer. And the same thing with Yogeshwara. You know past, present, and future completely. I don't. Brahma doesn't, the way Krishna does. I only know this one universe, but you're performing these pastimes in all different universes, which I don't know. So you'll have to answer this. I can't, in other words. So I have to modify that. He's not giving the answers. He's avoiding answering. Okay, we move on to the next file. File 10. Whoops. Text 39. I'm looking at it, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 7 paragraphs in text 39. Tatayev akrurina. Okay, now we have read what Brahma had to say to support Jiva Goswami's claim that Krishna's body is simultaneously infinite and finite. Now we're going to hear what Akrura says that supports the idea. Tataiva akrurena stutam bahu murtyeka murtikam iti. Akrura similarly offered praise with the words, who has many bodies and only one body? Bahu murti eka murtikam. It is also stated, tatacha shrutihi ekam santam Bahudha drishyamanam iti. He who, although one, is seen in many forms. Tato yada yadrisham yesham upasana palodaya bhumikavastanam tada tataiva te pashanti. Okay, therefore, when devotees reach the stage of success in their worship of any forms of the Lord, they then see him in those particular forms. It depends on who is trying to see. It depends on when their sadhana becomes fruitful. And it depends on which particular forms they're aiming to worship. In response to their sadhana, the particular devotees see particular forms when they're ready to see them. Tata cha pragyantara pritaktva vad drishtischa taduktam ityatra tu Brahma Sutra madvabhashyam upasana beda darshana bedaha iti. I didn't read the translation. Therefore, when devotees reach the stage, I did read it, but I'll read it again. Therefore, when devotees reach the stage of success in their worship of any forms of the Lord, then they then see him in those particular forms. And so Madhvacharya, I didn't mean. All right. It is also stated in Shruti, he who, although one, is seen in many forms. Okay? I didn't read that? Okay, that's it. He who, although one, is seen in many forms. And so Madhvacharya, in his commentary on the Sutra of the Vedanta, and there's the Vedanta, the one sutra from Vedanta, Pragyantara Pritattva Vad Drishtischa Tad Uktam. According to their various mentalities, they see him differently, as the scripture states. So Vedanta says, we hear this from the Upanishads, that the people worship the Lord with various mentalities, and therefore they see him variously. And Madhva, commenting on that, says, there are different visions because of different kinds of worship. We worship Krishna or his expansions in different ways with different attitudes, and therefore what we see varies from devotee to devotee. Okay, commentary. To enjoy variety and give special satisfaction to many kinds of devotees. The Supreme Lord expands Himself unlimitedly. But as all devotees of the Lord should recognize, He is one person, not many. And one of His multiforms is the original. He's got many forms, but one of them is the original. Vaishnavas in the mood of Vaikuntha consider Lord Narayana the original. And those who are in the mood of Vrindavan know that Krishna is the source from whom even Narayana expands. But the Lord is pleased with all His surrendered devotees, no matter in what form they aspire to see Him. He reciprocates with each devotee in an individual relationship. A particular devotee serving a particular form of Him, of His, in a unique flavor of loving exchanges. Okay. He doesn't fail to reciprocate with His devotees, but He reciprocates with each one in a different way. And devotees are satisfied because it's their swarupa, their natural desires, that Krishna responds to. If you're still a conditioned soul, then you may be in danger when you ask Krishna for something. You may be asking for the wrong thing. You may be asking what's not good for you and what won't make you happy, actually. But when you attain your swarupa, you're not inclined to ask for something that isn't appropriate. Krishna will reciprocate because your desires are perfectly appropriate. Therefore, Krishna's reciprocation is completely satisfying. Right now, Krishna is still reciprocating with us. But because we're approaching Him in ridiculous ways, He's not satisfied. He can't satisfy us properly. So He helps us destroy our misconceptions and our misbehavior by the way He deals with us now. But He is reciprocating even now. It's just that our intentions and plans are not appropriate now. Therefore, they can't be fulfilled the way we want them to be fulfilled. If Krishna fulfilled them the way we wanted them fulfilled, that would make us miserable and entangled. And Krishna won't do that to us. Drishtantascha yataikam eva patavastra vishesha pinchava yava drisheshadi dravyam nana varnamaya pradhanika varnam api kutaschit stana visheshad tatachakshusho janasya kenapya varna visheshena pratibhatiti. An analogous to this, how Krishna appears differently to different devotees. An analogy to this is how a single object, which is principally one color, with touches of several other colors, like, for example, a certain silk cloth of a turban, or a certain part of a bird's wing feather, like a peacock feather, it appears in one color or another to a person who is looking from one location or another. Looking at different angles, you see different colors. But actually, there's one primary color. The other colors are secondary. But what you see depends on from where you're looking. In this context, we can understand. Atra akonda patta vastra visheshadi staniyam nija pradana bhas antar bhavita tad rupantaram shri krishna rupam tad varna chavi staniyani rupantara niti gyayam. In this context, we can understand that this complete silk cloth or the other object represents the personal form of Sri Krishna, which includes within it principal effulgence, all His other forms. and the various colored images represent his other forms. So those who are looking at Krishna sideways, they see some other form. They see Ramachandra, Varaha. But actually Krishna, this is all contained within Krishna. Yata Shri Narada Pancharatre Manir Yata Vibhagena Nila Pitadibir Yutaha Rupa Beda Mavapnoti Dhyana Beda Tata Vibhuhu Iti. As is stated in Shri Narada Pancharatra, as a gem variously colored blue, yellow, and so on, assumes different appearances, so the Supreme appears according to different meditations. Manir atra vaidurium nila pitadeyas tadgunaha. The gem in this case is the Vaidurya stone, and blue, yellow, and other colors are the qualities of the Vaidurya stone. Tadevam kved yasya yuktir ukta. This is the explanation answering the question, where does the Supreme Lord appear? He appears, where, how does it answer where? Okay, let's see. Let's see what the commentary says, how this is answering where. According to the science of physics, the colors of an object depend on what wavelengths of light reflect from them. A multicolored effect in, for example, a cloth turban can be easily achieved by sewing glossy strips of cloth into the turban to reflect their different colors in different directions. If the turban is mainly of one color, then it can serve as a useful analogy to the Supreme Lord in his infinite expansions. Or there are similar examples already provided by nature, like the peacock's tail feathers and the Vaidurya stone. The personality of Godhead is one but multifaceted. Faceted means, well, sides, but it also means faces. The transcendental natures splendid colorfulness owes its origin to the variety in which devotees of different kinds look toward different aspects of the one Supreme Lord. So, where does the Supreme Lord show himself? Wherever his devotees are focusing their attention intently on him, that's where he shows himself. It all depends on the meditation of the devotees. How he appears and where and when and so on is because of the, in response to the meditation of the devotees. Next. Evam eva Shri Vamanavataram Upalaksha Shri Shukavakyam. Now we hear from Shukadev his support of the opinion that the Supreme Lord's form is all pervading. And he says this while describing the avatar of Lord Vamana. So it is that Sri Shukadev says in reference to the incarnation of Sri Vamana. Okay. Yadad vapur bhati vibhushana yudair avyakta chid vyaktam adarayed Tarihi babuva tenaiva savamano vatuh sampashyator divyagatir yata notaha iti. Lord Hari appeared in his original spiritual form, not manifested by anything material. Avyakta chid vyaktam. With ornaments and weapons in his hands. Then in the presence, okay, that's Vamanadeva, but he's not appearing as he's supposed to, as a dwarf Brahmin boy. He's appearing, first of all, like Vishnu. Then in the presence of his father and mother, in that same body, he assumed the form of a Brahmin dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Okay, now what do we learn from that? Jiva Goswami tells us, Artas chayam yadvapu shariram nakenapi vyajite ya chid purnanandas tatsurupam eva sad vibhushanadhyaya bhati. That form or body which is not made manifest by anything. Nakenapi vyajite. It's not made manifest. Nothing makes it appear. It makes itself appear. And which in its essential identity, which body of the Lord, in its essential identity of fully ecstatic consciousness, is resplendent with ornaments and other decorations, as Vishnu. That form... I'm looking for this Sanskrit. Tadvapus tada prapanchepi vyaktam yata syat tata adarayat stapitavan. That form he then situated or located so that it was visible in the material creation also. So Krishna adjusted his form or moved over into the material world so we could see him also, or in the form of Vamana. Punascha tenaiva vapusha vamano vatur babuva harihi. And then in that same form, not in a different form, in that same form, Lord Hari became a dwarf, a Brahmin boy. Evakarena parinama vesh antara yogadikam nishidham. By the word Eva here, Eva is Tenaiva Savamano, in that very same Eva, Tena Eva, in that body only. By that word Eva only is denied any transformation, change of dress, or similar event. This is not the Lord changing from one form to another. He's appearing in his Vishnu form, and that Vishnu form includes already the Vamana form. There's no need for a transformation. Or this is not a disguise. It's not Vishnu dressing up like Vamana. Okay, now the question is, Kada, when did this happen? Pitrok sampashyato, tenaiva vapusha. When was this? As his parents watched. That's the when answered, in this case. Tena vapusha. Tadbhave hetuhu divya paramachintiya yadgatam bhavatcha bhavishyatcha ityadi shutek swasmin eva nityastitanam nana samstanam prakashana apakashana rupa gotayash cheshta yasya saha. What is the Sanskrit here? Divya gatir. So, nobody, no, I'm sorry, no, that one. Yeah, the gati here means activities, cheshta, intentional activities. Gati also means movement. So here it means his activities. So, the translation... He did this in the very same body. And how he managed to do it is explained by the word divya gatihi. That means his various embodiments are eternally present within himself. According to such statements of Shruti as, in him is everything past and present and future. Vamana appears at a certain time. But even before there was a material creation, there was Vamana inside the body of Narayan. And so he just has to exhibit it. He doesn't have to transform into something different. or create an illusion. And his movements, or rather his activities, his gatis, his cheshtas, of revealing and hiding these embodiments are all divine. They are altogether inconceivable. Divya could mean coming from a heavenly planet, but here divya means beyond our understanding. Amazing. Tatra lakshita swadharma matro las amshi drishtanta lesha yata nata iti. The verse says, like an actor on the stage. In this regard is offered a hint of an analogy, because it's just yata nata. It doesn't say what the nata does. We have to fill that in ourselves, how it's like an actor. But the hint is given, like an actor. Like a dramatic performer. It was as some very wonderful actor appears with divine, supremely amazing movements, gestures of his hands and legs. In the same one form displays various appearances without partaking of any incongruity or other discrepancies. Okay, so a very expert actor. He moves his hand, the limbs around in a very mind way that creates a strong impression on the mind. And he's in one body. He's not. There's no appearance of another body. But in that same body, he looks like different people in the way he gestures and makes his face look different just by wiggling his muscles. And he does it expertly, without partaking of any incongruity or other discrepancies. An inexpert imitator will put on some semblance of imitating somebody, but there's discrepancies in it. But an expert, perfect actor will be a seamless, apparently perfect performance. Nato. Kaschid Ascharya Tame Divya Padama Vipasmapika Gatir. So his gestures, Hastakara Rupa Cheshta, the movements of his hands and feet, supremely Vipasmapika, amazing. Ascharya Tame Tata Bhutaksan Tenaiva Rupena Vaisham Yadikam Anuri Krityapi Nana Karatam Yata Darshati. That actor, expert actor, in the same one body, without seeming incongruous, he does it very expertly, so that nobody sees the tricks he's playing. They actually think another person has appeared. You know, he makes himself look like Abraham Lincoln. And everyone thinks Abraham Lincoln has come on the stage. He assumes various forms. Nana karatam yata darshayati. Or, alternative explanation. Swargyo natova divyagati. Or else, alternatively, whose movements are divine means that this actor was from the heavenly planets. So this divyagati, this is not an earthly actor on a regular stage. This actor, Vamanadev, comes from Swargaloka. That's his home. He lives with Indra. He's the younger brother of Indra, so that's his home. So he's a divyagati. He's an actor from the heavenly planets. Another way of explaining divyagatir. Tatascha tad tad anukaranam tasyatyanta tad akaram eva bhavati. Thus, when the Supreme Lord emulates various forms of life, he assumes the exact resemblances of them. So when the Lord becomes a Brahmin dwarf, when he becomes a fish or a boar, he does it as an exact resemblance. Many cannot even recognize him. It takes a great devotee to even recognize that this is the Supreme Lord and not another fish or another turtle. Commentary. Lord Vamana is one of the most renowned of the Lord's countless appearances. In him, the opulence of all attractive beauty is especially prominent. That we get from Rupa Goswami in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, that the special opulence exhibited by Vamanadev, the part of his personality that he shows most prominently in this partial expansion, is his beauty. Vamanadev doesn't kill millions of demons. He doesn't fight at all. He doesn't show his prowess. He shows his cleverness, but not his prowess, and not his physical prowess. Because he does, okay, when he steps over the whole universe, then he's showing something. But the most prominent feature in Vamanadev is his beauty. How could such attractiveness be avyakta in the sense of invisible? Since the demigods and the demons all witnessed it. So why are we calling, what is the word avyakta here? Avyakta chidvyaktam. He's pure spirit, but in an invisible way. What does that mean? Demigods and demons were all there watching the pastime. Not just Bali Maharaj and a few other pure devotees, but the whole population of heaven and hell were watching. His body was rather avyakta in a different way, namely not made to appear by anyone or anything else. That's what the Jiva Goswami told us. Avyakta means not that he's invisible. Everybody saw him, but nobody made him visible. Vyakta is a past passive participle, meaning made visible. So nobody, nothing made him visible. He just became visible by himself. Namely, not made to appear by anyone or anything else, or in other words, self-manifesting. When Vamanadev first appeared to his parents, Kashyapa and Aditi, they saw him as four-armed Narayan, fully adorned with his ornaments and weapons. Only after some short time did he change his appearance into that of a small Brahmin boy. But both of these forms were original in him, not the result of any process of transformation. The same Lord is eternally the majestic Lord of Vaikuntha and eternally the dwarf. He so-called placed before the eyes of Kashyapa, the word is adarayat, which is glossed as astapayat. He placed before the eyes of Kashyapa and Aditi the first form, and then like a dexterous magician exchanged it for his other form. The form of Vamana was no more a new creation than the rabbit a magician pulls from his hat. The Supreme Lord in his avatar is not merely a stage performer acting roles of characters different from his real self. The Lord's leelas are the pastimes he plays, but in them he and his devotees are not pretending. The experience they share is the highest reality. This is always so, whether the performance is in the eternal kingdom of God, in the demigod's heaven, as it was in the avatar of Lord Vamana, or among the short-lived creatures of the earth. Wherever he appears, what he does, including the devotees participating in those activities, it's all the absolute reality, not just a show. Okay, that we'll stop with at this point, halfway through this anuchet. Okay, if there's any questions, just send them to me, one way or another. And we'll spend time in the morning before the rest of the class answering the questions if there are any. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.